The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life.
Settles in your soul.
Soul of Jefferson.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does, and yes, it is.
Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa and
Janet Chandler, almost here.
And Wynn Carpenter. Good morning, everybody.
And we're also here with Lori Jones and Patrick Jones. How are you guys doing?
Hey, very good.
Good morning.
Good morning, by golly. We're broadcasting live from downtown Reading at KCNR Studios, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, and 1460 AM. We are your talk radio, and we are podcasting, broadcasting worldwide, streaming worldwide at KCNRradio.com. That the new one? Alex, you can turn your mic on, buddy.
KCNR.
Oh, it's right here.
Yeah. Go to KCNR Radio.
KCNRradio.com.
So it's new. Yeah, we don't have to put the 1460 in there anymore. Well, that's great. So you learn something new every Sunday. Anyway, we've got a pretty packed show today for you, and we also have a couple of announcements we want to start off with. And I want you to know that we do have phone lines open. It's 605-4567, 530-605-4567, and we do have two phone lines. Now, there may be a little bit of difficulty with the second line. If you're on that line, you may not be able to hear the person who's speaking. I'm not saying the people in the studio, but if there's another person on the other line. So when you call in, our producer will give you the information on how to handle that. But we do have two lines. Again, 530-605-4567. And if you have friends that need to hear this program like they need to hear all our programs, you can go to the archives because we archive forever.
And ever.
And ever.
Amen.
Amen.
Next week I'm going to sing it.
Yeah, I wish you would. By the way, we have some announcements this morning. And first, we're going to go to Lori Jones. She has an announcement. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I just wanted to let you know there's an event happening today, and that is introducing Clint Kernis to the Shingletown community. So it'll be at Pioneer Pizza, and that is 31232 California Highway 44. And it's going to be a little meet and greet with questions and pizza. So please come up if you want to hear Clint in person and learn more about him. We'd love to have you. The second event is next Saturday, February 28th, at VFW Hall in Anderson. We're having a fundraiser for Clint. So if you'd like to support that, you can pick up tickets at Jones Fort, or you can go to ClintKurtis.com. So thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Lori. Janet, you had an announcement.
I do. Just in case you thought there were not enough candidates running for California governor, there is another one. However, this one is different. Her name is Elaine Culotti, C-U-L-O-T-T-I. She is running as a no party preference, no political party. She is a real estate self-made millionaire from the L.A. area in Southern California, and she is not a polished politician. She is a working woman.
She's like us.
Like us, yes, exactly.
Wow, okay.
She has earned every dollar she has. And if you want to hear her, I have heard her interviewed on two different shows. Go to YouTube and search for her under Joe Rogan or Mike Rowe. And she is refreshingly different, articulate, and a possible candidate. I could see myself voting for her, especially when at this point some different polls are showing that the leader in the race is Adam Schiff. which I know is a favorite of all of us.
Adam Schiff. You mean the Soros, brother-in-law, son-in-law, whatever.
Yeah, that
in-law
kind of person. Uh-huh.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
What
that was just one poll. I know I've heard others that don't say that. But please, oh, please, folks, we have to have something other than Adam Schiff.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, last
Shifty Schiff.
Last week we talked about Lori Bridgeford and what a great person she is as far as how giving she is, what a kind person she is.
Right.
And this week I want to give a shout-out, a big shout-out to somebody else. She actually drugged me to the Tea Party in 2009. She got started with the Tea Party. She single-handedly did 90% of the work of weekly meetings, getting rallies together, therefore earned the name Rally Sally.
Mm-hmm.
And she has been the most remarkable. She's the GOAT, the greatest of all time when it comes to putting things together.
Yep.
Did you just call your wife a GOAT?
I call her the greatest of all time. I have to sort of back up a little bit when I talk to Patrick. It's okay. It's all right. We're going to name him A-Track. We got the cassettes and DVDs. Okay, so anyway, I think that, I mean, she's been remarkable. There was a lot of times when we went weekly and she dragged me screaming and kicking because I didn't want to go, but every week doing all her due diligence, contacting everybody, new people that she called every new person that joined the Tea Party and the Reading Patriots. Most amazing organizer, and honey, I won't forget the milk. Love you.
Plus, every meeting, she had her tables of merch and information and whatever.
Every meeting. Yeah. And she did her monologue every meeting. Every meeting for what, 10 years?
Yeah.
Holy mackerel.
And she didn't age a day during those 10 years.
She hasn't aged yet. She made me move rocks yesterday. I aged. Just ask my back. Anyway, we are here with Patrick Jones, and we have several things we want to get into. One thing I did want to ask you about and get your opinion on, we have this situation now where the Board of Supervisors is being sued by Jane Doe. Can you elaborate on that whole thing? Because it's kind of confusing to most people. Could you elaborate on that?
Well, we obviously don't know who the Jane Doe is, and so I don't think anybody knows that yet. Hopefully, as this thing comes unraveled, that we will learn who is doing that. The way that it was written is clearly by an attorney or attorneys, in that it's well done, it's not an amateur, and they're attempting, obviously, to go around the will of the Shasta County voters. Clearly, 10,000 people signed this petition, and this ballot measure should be on the June ballot, their attempt to stop it. Now, the Board of Supervisors met in closed session. They're obviously taking direction from their county council as to what direction they could go. And you know, if you take a look at the past things when we had issues with, like, Fountain Wind, we took a direction that's going to be very important, that we have land use decisions and not Sacramento. And so we spent $1 million not fighting in a lawsuit, but $1 million in lobbying efforts to get the Energy Commission pushed back. And it was successful and it worked. And so there we chose to spend $1 million to push back on something that would hurt our citizens. Here, the board chose not to on a 4-1 vote. Supervisor Cry did not vote for that. He did want to bring it out and discuss it so the public would understand what this vote meant. So right now they're not going to take any action, which is, in essence, going to show poorly for us as it moves through court, because there's going to be no defense unless someone else wants to defend it and put money up. In my opinion, because the citizens of Shasta County supported this so far, the county should have spent some money to defend it. So I believe it was a mistake for them to take no action, which is what they did on a 4-1 vote.
Yeah, and I think that's a great explanation, and I hope you folks have that clear. Again, you can always call in if you have questions or even more information on that. But, I mean, to me, there should have been something taken. 10,000 people in the county spoke. That's the bottom line. If you have 10,000 people that want something, okay, hey, you know, it's 10,000 people. And in our county, that's huge when it comes to the voting population.
Now, this will go before a local judge here in Shasta County Superior Court, and then a decision will be made whether it will be moving forward or not. But again, without proper opposition, I'm not sure there that the judge would you know, want to throw it out or would be willing to do so if you don't have someone making that case.
You know, I heard that, I heard this from Kevin Cry. He said that basically he was willing to spend money to defend this, you know, and let the people have their say. I mean, I heard that from the horse's mouth, and he has said it several times in public.
Right.
But, you know, there still seems to be some angst there by certain people with Kevin Cry. I'm not saying that...
Well, there is precedent that in California we've had statewide ballot measures that were passed that got the signatures, and a ballot measure should have been put on the ballot, and the California Supreme Court stepped in and stopped it. In fact, one was just a short time period ago with taxes, with making it more difficult to raise taxes. And so, unfortunately, we've seen these things before. This is at a superior court level, but we've seen it at the high level here in California. It's unfortunate, you know, and, you know, maybe the judge that handles this will say no. You know, we don't know whether there's something illegal. It has not been determined whether there's something illegal with this ballot measure or not. That comes later. If it's passed, then it should go to court. If the state wanted to sue us or the federal government wanted to sue us, then so be it. But at this point, let it go forward. We'll see what the judge does, and I'm sure that'll come up fairly soon.
Yeah, you know,
Tim Draper's state initiative to split the state qualified with a collection of signatures and was supposed to be on the ballot and was removed by the court.
Yeah.
So that this can happen.
Yeah, you know, and I'm certainly, you know, I think the judge is the same judge that also ruled in favor of the Shasta Five, that Larmore did have to sign that title and summary, which he always did have to sign that. But here's my question. 1973 is an initiative that's coming forward, and that initiative is to have California secede the United States and create their own country. And the Attorney General of the State of California, Bonta, signed off on it because he had to do the title and summary. I haven't heard much more about that since then, but it did actually happen.
So so California's going to become its own country then.
Well, they have to.
Yeah, and if that's okay, why wouldn't this be okay?
Right, right.
Wow. They'd have to collect signatures, and I haven't seen any signature gathering for that.
I don't know, but the whole point is that if then, you know, if they can do that, why
right.
can't we do this?
Right.
You know, and
great comparison.
Exactly, Laura. How are you? What say you?
Good morning, Terry. Thank you for taking my call. I want to talk for a couple minutes, if I could, about the Jane Doe. Obviously, none of us know who she is, but I had a chance to actually read the suit, which is over 20 pages long, and it doesn't appear, even though she's supposedly doing this pro se without a lawyer, I suspect either she is a lawyer herself or she's working with more than likely a team of lawyers in the background who are writing this, because it was a professional, very well-polished, sophisticated complaint. So it's not something that someone just produced on Grok or copied and pasted together like Larmore's previous complaint against the Shasta Five.
So are you ruling Larmore out? Are you ruling Larmore out? Do you think it might
no,
be?
No, I'm not, actually. I do think he may have been a contributor to this. I have no way to prove that.
Uh-huh.
But I suspect this was a joint effort. If you actually go back and look at Action News Now interview with Supervisor Alan Long, you can see that he was discussing this issue of a lawsuit coming before to prevent it from being on the ballot. So I suspect that they've been working on this for months.
Okay, I have another question.
And it could be at the state
right.
or the national level.
Gotcha. I got another question for you. This is all for clarity. So there's speculation of a lot of things. Do you think that maybe the state put this forward with a team of attorneys, that the state actually did this?
I suspect so, state or someone at the national level. A big portion of this lawsuit has to do with Kathy Allen's phony estimate that Hand County was going to cost $1.3 million. She bloated those numbers up just to create her point, which is she didn't want Hand County. We know that hand counting is actually cheaper than maintaining these expensive contracts with voting machines. So that is completely untrue, her allegation that it was going to cost 1.3. Chris Street did a analysis using Kathy Allen's very own numbers, and he found at most it was going to cost $1.83 per ballot to hand count, which is in a community of about 15,000 voters, you're talking maybe $400,000, and I think that is a very high estimate.
Hey, Laura,
I think it's
what about,
even less than that.
What about, you know, connections directly to attorneys, you know, via the Board of Supervisors? Are any of them married to an attorney?
Yes, Alan Long is married to Margaret Long, who's from Prentice Law. And I suspect she may also be involved in this, honestly. She may actually be the Jane Doe that we're speaking of. Hmm. I do not know. I have no way to confirm that. However, we are at a very dangerous point here where it's quite likely that if we do not join this lawsuit and actually create a defense, which is something the county is not going to do, the judge will have no other recourse than just to side with Jane Doe. And we know that this judge has a history of taking the side against the patriots in this community. And there's a number of cases where I could mention.
So will the Jane Doe ever be revealed?
That's a good question, and I don't know the answer, but we are working on raising funds to get a lawyer present who could actually do a, put up a reasonable defense for us, because otherwise Measure B will be removed from the ballot. So if you would like to donate, go to voteforb.com or go to GiveSendGo. We have a GiveSendGo /B stays on the ballot. B for the letter B stays on the ballot.
Well, you know, another question I have for you is that, to me, in looking at all this, for the life of me, and Patrick, I'd like you to weigh in on this, I'm still trying to figure out why the county ever fought this thing. Just let the just let it go. Why are they not supporting the people? I mean, on the surface, maybe I'm sure there's reasons, but on the surface, just as a citizen, why aren't they supporting? There are 10,000 people signed this thing, for crying out loud.
And how outrageous is it that one anonymous person
can do that.
Stop it?
And the Board of Supervisors isn't defending the people. And then a lot of people's views, they're not defending. In a lot of people's opinion,
Then it's left up to a single judge.
Right.
Yeah,
so two people get to make this case either go away or just die on the vine, whatever.
Well, and it's interesting hearing that here they're choosing and had voted 4-1 to take no action, but yet when the DA and a whistleblower comes forward and shows that the DA is campaigning out of her office and she's admitted to that fact under a very limited investigation, she's admitted to it, so clearly the county should not be defending her in that her actions were not within the scope of her work, but yet they chose to do that, and they're going to spend, they could spend easily $1 million on that.
Right.
And yet here they're choosing not to. So it's simply up to the board, but I would put it this way. The board is listening to county council, and people can argue that, but I've been there. I was with the city for 8 years. I know about city attorneys. I was with the county for 4 years, and I know this county council. I've known the previous county council. And typically, in most cases, the board sides with what the county council is given advice. The problem is that advice.
Do they ever question it?
Occasionally, but not often. And I think this current board right now, unfortunately, is listening to their county council too much.
Wow.
Okay, Laura, we're going to have to let you go, hon. We've got some other callers that we need to get on.
Okay, can I have one more comment about the county council? He was formerly employed by Margaret Long, which is the lawyer we mentioned recently, and I do agree with Patrick on that. It is a problem of them listening to council.
So where were they working together?
Tehama County?
Is that local or what?
You know, Yeah, Prentice Long is in charge of over 14 different counties in California.
Oh.
So he was working for a different county under the umbrella of Prentice Long. So.
No hanky stuff going on there with her husband being on the BOS. That's kind of...
These county councils have too much sway and influence over our local representatives. They should be representing the will of the people, not the will of the county council.
Oh, I agree.
Gosh. Amen. You know,
and I think we
Thank
all agree.
Thank you so
much.
Thank you, Laura.
Yeah. Laura, can you share this, too? Share this program once we archive it. 5 minutes after, we need to archive this program and get it out to a lot of people. Sally, darling, you know what to
we'll do.
Okay.
And go to voteforb.com to contribute. Thank you so much.
All right, hon. Have a great day.
Thank you.
So, anyway, I mean, the whole thing is I'm just getting tired of trying. You know, I know that there are board of supervisors who listen to the show. And I know that they listen to it live. 605-4567, 530-605-4567, if you want to comment on this, because I think everyone is getting frustrated with every time we turn around, there's just another drama going on. Whether or not, in the conversations that, and what I've heard Kevin Cry say, is that he is willing to spend the money. He is willing to spend some money to defend the people. That was out of his own mouth, all right? So how much that is, I don't know, but I'm just getting really tired of these cameras, of all this stuff that's going on. We've got the sheriff with these cameras, license plate readers. I mean, heck, you can't even go to the Maverick gas station without having your license plate read. You know, I mean, this stuff is getting way out of hand. There has to be another side to it. So if you guys want to call in, somebody wants to call in and give us your other side to it.
Well, I can tell you, Terry, that part of the problem here, we have some good supervisors, so I'm not going to take that away. And you know, there are decisions that I like, and there are decisions that I don't like. But to be honest, the bulk of the supervisors are very new, and they don't have experience in politics. We have three of them that are brand new, that have no knowledge of politics whatsoever, and two that have only had 3 years. And that then becomes a problem because you rely on staff. When you don't have the knowledge, you rely on staff because you haven't been through the ringer a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
I had 8 years at city council before I got, and I sat in those seats for 12 years before I got to the county. That experience did help considerably. And I've watched attorneys lie to me. I've watched attorneys do illegal things and be able to get away with it. I've watched sex scandals. I've watched everything that you can imagine, and that corruption was what this last movement was all about, was ending the corruption. It's what the recall of Leonard Modi was about, and getting rid of a crooked convict for a CEO and all kinds of other things, and our health officer. That's what the movement was about, was ending the corruption.
Yep.
And shining light where there wasn't light before. And you know, and I'd like that to move forward. But without the experience, and if you just don't have it, then you're relying on people that are around you. And that's what's happening.
Now, what about, this case, and Jane Doe is named. Does the board currently know who Jane Doe is, or does anybody know who Jane Doe is?
No, I don't think they know.
Okay. Because I don't know. I don't know how these things work, you know, not being behind the closed doors, understanding all the things that get revealed and whatnot.
You know, it's only 20 pages, and so I would assume that they've all read the complaint. Sometimes, like on the consent for this next meeting.
If they haven't, they damn well better, or have somebody read it to them.
Here's a situation where just not having experience goes a long ways. There is a consent item on the next agenda, and it's for an appointment to a particular board. It's not super high profile, but all the boards have some significance, and they're going to appoint Ken Murray. And it's on consent. And, you know, they just don't have experience with a guy like that. And, you know, out of 180,000 people, you can't find somebody other than Ken Murray to be on there. But they don't know his past, right? And they don't know the decisions that he's made on city council. And yet there it is, and they just don't know because of lack of experience.
Let me ask you a question. So, you know, it's sort of like when you're a ball player. You know, you're a rookie until you've played 20 games. Okay, so you don't have to be a rookie to read the Constitution. You don't have to be, you don't have to have experience to read that. I know for a fact, you know, we're talking about them all being new. Then why is Kevin taking a position that apparently the other ones aren't? Why did Kevin take the position to stand against this and say, yeah, we'll spend money, You know, we'll go ahead and do that. We'll spend money, you know, to defend the people and the people's right to do this. And, I mean, does that have to do with experience, or does that have to do with discernment on who you're listening to? What does it have to do with?
Well, I think that's a question for Kevin. I think he made the right decision on this one. And, you know, when I was on council, there was a ton of 4-to-1s. You know, I was left out quite a bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had one council member leaning over to me all the time and saying, hey, you know, I just went with him because I knew it was going to pass, right? They knew they had 3 votes, so he jumped ship. So, you know, it should have passed maybe on a 3-2, not
right.
a 4-to-1, but there was a lot of 4-to-1s, and it kind of, in fact, people started coming up to me and saying, you know, you're voting no an awful lot. And I said, you know, it's not really that way. If you take a look at all our agenda items, you know, I support about 80% of it. But there are some high profile cases where I'm not going to go along with it. And, you know, and in fact, a lot of the decisions that I voted no on at that passed are creating huge problems for the city today. As you know, they're $10 million behind.
Oh, boy.
Their unfunded liabilities now are surpassing $500 million.
Yep.
$500 million.
You know, so, you know, they're, you know, but if you listen to staff,
that's why REU wants to have a rate increase right
and
now.
And we'll talk about that after the break.
Right.
And Andrew, hang on there, buddy. We'll get to you right after the break. We've got to take our half-hour break. Stay with us, Andrew. We'll get right to you after the break on the other side. Time has come.
For 51.
We're getting it done.
Amen.
Garden ready to wake up from winter? Grange Co-op has everything you need at our Early Start Garden Sale, now through February 22nd. Spring is on the way, and we're celebrating with big savings. Take 40% off garden seeds, 30% off houseplants, and get a buy 3 get 1 free deal on Rogue poultry feed. Whether you're planting new blooms or perfecting your lawn, Grange Co-op has you covered. Swing by Grange Co-op at 55 Lake Boulevard in Redding, or shop online at grangecoop.com to jumpstart your spring garden today.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Planning a wedding? Celebrate the moment with a free dinner for two at Odell Craft Barbecue. With their slow-smoked brisket that melts in your mouth, even Texans say it's some of the best they've ever had. We cater events and weddings of all sizes, from intimate gatherings to receptions of 1,000 guests. We make delicious food and great service, so you can stay present with the people who matter. Odell Craft Barbecue, real wood, real fire, real flavor. Book your free tasting at ReddingBarbecue.com. Again, book your free tasting at ReddingBarbecue.com.
The Shasta College Art Gallery presents a Japanese woodblock print exhibition featuring works from the traditional ukiyo-e period to contemporary artists. Explore beautifully crafted prints with many pieces available for purchase to support Shasta College Student Show Awards. Join us for the closing reception on April 16th at noon in Building 300 during Shasta College Cultural Day. The gallery is open Monday through Thursday 8 to 5 and Fridays 8 to noon. More information can be found at shastacollege.edu/events.
At Plumas Bank, we understand business because we've grown alongside you in the communities we call home. We're proud to grow in Redding and excited to welcome Anderson and Red Bluff to the Plumas Bank family. With our new locations, your business gains expanded lending powers, more convenient locations, and more than 40 years of trusted community banking experience. Plumas Bank, building stronger communities. Learn more at plumasbank.com.
Get up, stand up for your rights.
Get up.
Way to go, Sally, darling.
Get up.
That was good. Rally Sally, the one and only. Okay, we're going to go to Andrew first here, and then Stones, hold on. We'll get to you. Andrew, what say you, sir?
You know, I don't quite understand. We have a right to face our accuser. How could there be a Jane Doe bringing a suit, yet we don't know the identity? I don't quite understand how that could be. Anybody can give me an answer, and I'd love to hear why.
Yeah, I don't know. It does seem a little unusual. Unfortunately, I don't know the legal system well enough to know why this occurs, but... yeah, obviously they didn't want their name because it would probably
shed some light.
Yeah, put some light where they didn't want to. So mm-hmm. I think in the end it will come out. I think eventually we'll know, but for now we don't.
What's like the license plate readers in the you know, the cameras that you know, if you run a red light, you know, we're supposed to be able to face our accuser. And I'm against the DUI checkpoints, the roadblocks. Those are not constitutional in my...
Not even.
I know the Supreme Court has said so, but they're idiots. It's just opinion. Anyway, thank you for the show.
Thank you, Andrew.
All right, Andrew, thank you, buddy. Okay, Richard, what say you, sir?
Well, I'll go as quickly as I can. As far as the anonymity of Jane Doe... If you look at the 22-page pleading at the bottom, one of the remedies they're requesting is to make the identity anonymous permanently. So that tells me that this anonymity is only temporary. Gee, if we had somebody defend this case, they would motion to unseal the name of the person. So first of all. Second of all, so it's filed last week, and they get a court date the following week, and it's not. If you read the header, it is not an emergency injunction. It's just a request for an injunction. So how does that non-emergency injunction get calendared a week later? I wonder if there was some planning involved there. And I want to talk about charter, okay?
Well, hold on a sec. Hold on, because I just have some questions. We're not rushing you. I just have some questions to get some clarity. Okay, so what you're saying is that Jane Doe can stay anonymous forever in this deal, number one, and number two, you know, this what has been talked about as far as the Jane Doe possibly being someone who's related to someone on the Board of Supervisors. What do you think about that stuff? Do you have any idea or any thoughts on who you think might be behind this thing? Go ahead.
I have nothing additional to add other than what Laura said on that regard.
Okay.
Yeah. But so getting the charter, so we're a charter county, okay? That means home rule. That means we do not follow general law. Here's the key. If you look at the elections codes, actually, if you look at the majority of the state laws, state codes, there is a clause that is not in almost all of the codes, and that clause being this matter is of a statewide concern and applies to all charter cities and counties. Now, the state is now starting to put that in as a clause, especially when it comes to election codes, government codes. And here's the key. When Huntington Beach voters voted yes for their voter ID, the state put in an argument, I read it, that said, no, you can't do it, it's illegal, when in fact it was not illegal. So then during that court case, the state passes, I want to say Senate Bill 1174, could be wrong on the number, but they then introduce a bill and pass it urgency, which then explicitly makes voter ID illegal. So the state, they're a bunch of liars, they're dishonest, they're evil, and my point is, if we want to change election laws via our charter, almost all of those election laws do not contain the disclaimer that law applies to city and county charters, which means we can amend it. We can amend and not follow those laws via our charter, just like we're doing now. Just like we're doing now, we have in our charter that a supervisor vacancy can be filled by the remainder of the board members. And Tehama County also does that. That is in direct contradiction and violation of the government code, which reads the governor shall appoint board vacancies, and we are violating that. Why? because we did it via the charter process, and it's lawful. Anyways, that's all I have. Any questions?
Yes. Where you have that, where you said the governor shall. Can you give me the what that code is and where that exactly that is stated that he shall, not may or could? Can you give me that?
Yeah, I've done it before, so I'm going off of memory. I believe it's government code 25060.
25060.
Yeah.
You can text it to me. I left a couple of messages for you. We're having all the candidates on, and so get with me. We'll get you on the show.
Thank you very much. Any other questions? I appreciate it.
Nope. We got another caller on the line. Thank you, Richard. Jimmy, how are you, my friend? What say you?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good.
I've heard you guys talk about these cameras that are, they have installed or proposing to install, the license plate readers.
They are installed.
They're installed.
Okay, because I'm wondering if they're the same type they have in England, because the first time I ever heard of or seen these license plate readers was when I was in England. And my buddy was driving us down the M1. It was like their equivalent to the I-5. And he said, you see that camera right there? That's a license plate reader. He said it will, you know, take all your information, if you have any tickets, everything. But the other thing that he told me was, if you drive that stretch of highway all the time and you know where those cameras are, say you pass one camera, it'll read how fast you're going. And if you know, like 10 kilometers down the road or a few miles down the road, where the next one is, if you speed in between there, camera A and camera B, and you slow down before that next camera takes your license plate, it can time how long it took you to get from camera one to camera two. And if you speed in between there, it'll time how long it took you to get there and will give you a speeding ticket.
Interesting.
Yeah, you know, I don't put anything past them. I mean, and this is all out in the county. We've had those cameras installed in Reading 10 years ago. But the thing is now is that we have them in the county at obscure places. I had one fellow tell me he has a private drive, and he told me he has one right outside his private drive in the country. What, I mean, who are they going to catch out there? Him?
Right now, that falls out of the purview of the ability of the camera legally. But, you know, who says what's going to happen in the future? Right now, they can't issue a speeding ticket. But in the future, you know, things change.
Right. Okay, I was just wondering that. Anyways, good talking to you guys. Great show, and I'll talk to you later.
Thank you. One of the things that Richard mentioned was, you know, where a county makes a charter amendment and then the state comes around or the county makes a rule. And, you know, we had that here in 2023 and 2024 where we went to hand counting. We got rid of Dominion, and then the state, with the help of Joanna Franciscott and Kathy Allen, went down to Sacramento, lobbied the assembly to pass AB 969, stripping our ability to hand count. So that was counterproductive to the will of the board, and that's Joanna Franciscott, who is now running against Clint Curtis. And in fact, we have so many things. We have over 30 different things that Joanna has done in violation of laws. And most people don't know about, and I want to bring this up, the 2022 primary election where we had six local candidates. This was the sheriff, the DA, the superintendent of schools, the ROV, Kathy Allen's own position, and then two supervisor positions. And Joanna Franciscott and Kathy Allen did not use the Secretary of State's random alphabetical draw, their alpha draw. Mm-hmm. They chose not to use that. They did their own thing, and they printed two ballots. Not one ballot, but two separate ballots. Where was our county council on this? That's totally illegal. You have one ballot, and your name appears.
Who was our county council then? Do you remember?
Ruben Cruz. Okay. Ruben Cruz was. And second in command was Jim Ross, and then Matt McCumber after that. They always send everything through legal before it goes out. Mm-hmm. And so here you have two ballots where in one particular ballot you have a candidate that his name or her name is placed in the proper position on the ballot. And then the next ballot, the secret and the corrupt ballot, is sent out where that person's name now is in the number two position. Now, Joanna Franciscott and Kathy Allen admitted this in open session at the Board of Supervisors meeting when questioned. In fact, I think it was Supervisor Kellstrom that had questioned her on this. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, yeah, no, this line on the outside, the computer can tell from this box on the outside. It's totally a lie, totally bogus. They stripped six people of their elections. And we have those ballots today. We have that evidence. That is pure fact. It's undisputed that they fraudulently created two ballots, and they robbed six individuals right out of the Market Street Elections Office. And now Joanna Franciscott wants that top job. And it's why I'm backing Clint Curtis. I'm not only backing him, I'm working on his committee and helping him in every way. He's done a phenomenal job, as Supervisor Cry has said, in restoring the trust that we have lost with Kathy Allen and Joanna. And why are they so afraid of the public? Because they're corrupt. We've seen it. We have the proof. It's undeniable. 100% they are crooked. And
have they come up with the data to prove all these things have happened? I mean, do they have that
in their hands? We have the two ballots. There was supposed to be one.
Right. Okay.
So that is proof that they created a crooked second ballot. She admitted to it. You have to follow the alpha draw. Now, the Secretary of State creates six alpha draws, and they're for different positions, for congressional and Senate and races and your county races. They do it every election cycle, and you have to follow it by law. She decided, nope, we're not going to do that. Can you imagine today if Clint Curtis said, you know, for all the county races, I'm not going to follow the Secretary of State's random alpha draw. I'm just going to do my own thing.
Right.
I'm going to create a couple ballots.
Okay, so how many congressional races or federal races were on that same ballot?
Well, I'm just narrowing this down. The two ballots that we saw, the evidence that we have, the proof that we have is on the six county positions.
So there are no federal positions on those ballots.
Well, I'm not discussing those. I'm just simply talking about the proof I'm telling you.
Yeah.
We have the two ballots.
I get it.
We've only analyzed the data for the six county positions. The others are irrelevant. What she did out of that office is a fact. We have that evidence. There are other races that may have had problems. We have not analyzed that data.
Well, the reason I ask that is because that is more power of law behind going back and going after these individuals.
I would disagree. Breaking the law is breaking the law, whether it's the county races or federal races. But
But then you have the feds coming after you versus just the county coming after you, and we can see clearly that the county is not going after you.
If it's fraud, the feds would anyway.
Yeah. Well, I'll just disagree with you, Wynn. We paid a lot of attention. We worked hard on those six county races. I didn't work on any state or federal races. We worked on the six county races, and all six of those races were fraudulently crafted out of the Market Street office. We have that proof by Joanna Franciscott and Kathy Allen. I worked on those six races. That's what's important to me. I didn't work on congressional races or Senate or Assembly races. And so we have that proof. So for people that say there is no proof, we have those two ballots. She's admitted to having two ballots when there should have been one. And what occurred here was that it shows that the cheating, and we've talked about cheating for a long time, it's what Clint Curtis is all about, is to get rid of all the various forms of cheating. And there's 100 different ways to cheat. Some of the cheating is done outside of the county. But here we have proven, without a doubt, that cheating has occurred within the Market Street office. Now, our current ROV, County Clerk Clint Curtis, has stated that. And it's obviously ruffled feathers, and it's got the attention of the Secretary of State, because they now know that we have caught on to some of the methods of cheating. And, so I think that's important. So if somebody says we have no proof, the courts, we can't get any justice in court. They're not going to take a look at any of this. They're not going to be impressed enough. They're not going to have standing, whatever rules that they have. But we have the proof. We have the facts that cheating has occurred within this office. That's not even talking about the chain of custody and all the things that our current ROV, Clint Curtis, has initiated to stop ballot stuffing or anything else.
Where do we go to get justice?
Well, so, you know, we can't, it's hard to change Washington. It's very hard to change Sacramento. But it's why I believe this, you know, this election, and I have not taken the county clerk ROV position very seriously in the past. We are today. We're at a pivotal point today. Do we want to have, you know, a system of transparency where people are engaged to take a look and to take part of their election process, or do you want to go back to the way that it was with Joanna Franciscott and Kathy Allen? Because that's what's coming up in June. Keep in mind that Clint Curtis is the only Republican in this race. We haven't had a Republican ROV county clerk forever, and this race will be over in June. And so this race, with only two people in this race on county positions, if anyone gets 50%, they're over. They do not go on to November. Now, your assembly races, for example, the top two move on no matter what. They move on to the fall, but not in your county races and not with the county clerk. With there's only two in there, the only way that those two would move on is if there was a mathematical tie, which has never happened anywhere. Someone will win, and that's why we need to get behind Clint Curtis. It's why we have our fundraiser coming up this Saturday, which is the end of the month on the 28th at Anderson VFW. And you can call me, 222-3223, for tickets. We'd like to get people there. Support him, financially support him. That always helps. Right now, Clint Curtis is showing phenomenal grassroots efforts. If you take a look at his 460 form, he has 50 pages of donations from people supporting him. And that's twice as much as Joanna. And, so he's doing a great job. He's doing lots of meet and greets. He's out and about. He's showing the public that we want to make our elections approachable to the public. And I've had many conversations and meetings with Kathy Allen, and the question I asked her is, how are you going to restore trust with the voters back in 2023? And her response to me was, that's not my responsibility. And it absolutely is. They were doing everything to discourage public participation in our elections. And that's the opposite of Clint Curtis. He today is encouraging people, come on down. He gives tours. He's going to show you how he has chain of custody. It's a massive difference today, and really it's an example of, for all the other counties in the state. And that's why we've had gubernatorial candidates come up and others taking a look at what he is doing here in Shasta County. I think he's probably the only ROV in the entire state that actually wants to have, you know, solid chain of custody, public participation, take a look at everything, and when it's all said and done, he'll take a polygraph and ask him if there was any cheating or if he knew of any cheating.
Yeah, that's great information, you know, and I agree with everything you're saying. It's just frustrating to think that we just don't have, as people, I mean, that is our only option, is to get Clint reelected. That's our only option, is what you're saying, because we can't get any kind of satisfaction with justice through the courts. And apparently, does the Board of Supervisors have any jurisdiction over that?
They do. The Shasta County Board of Supervisors oversees all departments within the county. So they oversee the DA, they oversee the Sheriff's Department, they oversee the county clerk and the elections. Now, they do not run the day-to-day operations of those functions, but they do oversee everyone, and they control the budget of everyone as well. Now, this particular county council that we have today does not highlight that point with the board. So I think some of the board members don't think they oversee elections and tend to want to be hands-off. I would disagree with that.
Okay, good point. Steve, are you still there? And
I'm here.
We have just a minute. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out, well, I had a question for Richard, your last caller, Patrick and Laura, about administrative law. I've been reading a lot about it. I got a ticket for a seatbelt, and according to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness, you're infringing on my constitutional rights. Administrative law, all of these little things that they keep putting out and subverting all the things that we've been trying to do.
Well, the key is, Steve, the key is...
Steve, Janice trying to ask you a question.
Yeah,
Steve,
go ahead.
The key to that is that the courts have determined that driving is a privilege, not a right, and therefore administrative law can apply.
No, administrative law is not constitutional, period. You cannot have two gods before me. We only have one constitution, one God, and that's it, period. So we got to get that.
Well, you know, I think everybody here, Steve, we're trying to have a conversation. We're trying to have a conversation with you. Okay? And the thing is that I think that when you look at what's going on with everything, I mean, we're not getting justice. The Constitution people aren't following. I mean, there isn't anybody in this room that doesn't agree with you. It's just that's the world we live in. So, I mean...
No, I disagree. The world has changed because we're not paying attention.
Well, yeah, we're agreeing with that. We're agreeing with that.
Administrative law has no jurisdiction over us, but we're allowing it to happen. We have to get back to God and the Constitution.
Okay.
It's very simple.
Okay.
Thank you.
One of the other things that...
Just a quick update that Rich said. He's texting. He said, yes, the government code is 25060.
Great.
For the Board of Supervisors appointing, where it says the governor shall appoint. So,
okay, there you have it.
So it's on the books. It's been there for a while. So 25060, if you want to look it up.
Yeah, we can't allow that anymore. We just, you know, we're going to have to stand a little more. Patrick, it just saying no. I mean, I get sort of betwixt in between when we look at our Board of Supervisors. They seem like they're all wanting to do the right thing. Everybody wants to do the right thing, but we have this controversy that goes on. It seems like, I mean, I can't agree with the cameras. I can't agree with them not supporting the 10,000 people that signed the petition. I mean, it's hard to do that, hard to fathom a way, and we don't really even hear what the reasoning is. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I guess I want to come back to elections a little bit and finish up. I know we only have a few more minutes. So the board, at least two different boards, have passed over Joanna twice, and there's reasons for that, right? We've picked Tom Toller, who turned out to be a real dud, and then we picked Clint Curtis, who has been the star of elections in California and really in the whole country. One of the other things that Joanna Franciscott did and Kathy Allen did when it came to a grant, a $1.5 million grant for the Centers for Tech and Civic Life, the majority of the board, made a counterproposal that was passed and said the money, if it comes in, is going to be for a building, and when it hits our escrow account, it cannot be taken back. Joanna Franciscott, and we have the 173 emails, and Kathy Allen rewrote that document, hid it from the entire board, hid it from the chair. They got it passed from the Centers for Tech and Civic Life, which Joanna sits on that board, which is funded by Zuckerberg, the Zuckerbucks, rewrote it, hit it. As chair, I asked our acting CEO, Mary Williams, three times did that counterproposal get approved. Three times I was lied to, and then we only found out about the approval of the incorrect grant in 2024. What else? That's what we did know. We did find that out. But how many times has Joanna Franciscott gone around the board and did something completely counterproductive and illegal? That's breach of contract, so that's illegal. And we have at least 28 items that she's done. And so it is time to get rid of this type of old corruption. It's pure corruption is what it was under the leadership of Kathy Allen and then Joanna. It's time now to get Clint Curtis. I encourage every Republican to come to this event. We've got 1 week, and come and buy a ticket. Support Clint Curtis for your county clerk. It's going to pay off.
I also wanted to say something real quick. If you look at and you follow the money, at least look at the supporters of Joanna currently. And one of them was one of the people that helped to craft 969 against us. So go look at how many state people are coming in and supporting. And that kind of scares me, to be honest. I like that Clint is grassroots and that he's bringing in the local support. And he also has gone in front of multiple different boards of supervisors in different counties. And they like what he's doing. And they'll be coming here to tour and see what he's doing. Because he says, don't trust him. Just come down and see for yourself. That's what he wants. He wants you in person to come and see. Go take a tour.
Yeah, I think that, thank you, Lori. And, I think that we all need to do our due diligence and see what's going on. We will have the supervisors that are running for office, both Kevin and Chris, will be on. We're going to have, in fact, we've gotten a nod from everybody that's running for office. We'll have that over the next 6 to 8 weeks. We're going to do a full hour. We're going to ask them questions. You will be able to call in and ask them questions. We need to get answers to this stuff. And time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
Your everlasting summer, you can see it fading fast. So you grab a pizza, so something that you think is gonna last. Well, you wouldn't even know a diamond if you held it in your hand. The things you think are precious, I can't understand. Are you reeling in the east, stowing away the time? Are you gathering up your teeth?
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Attention.